Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Abound in hope. That sounds hopeful. St. Paul writes this letter, you know, I guess he wrote it on papyrus. In our confirmation class, we're doing a little bit of writing on papyrus, aren't we, David? Yes. Well, in the old days, even before me, lovers used to write letters to each other on paper, not email, paper, handwritten letters. And they were delivered by something that they called the mail. Remember that? Now they call it the snail mail. Well, I don't know about you, but yesterday was December 7th, and we remembered Pearl Harbor, the day which shall live in infamy. Those were the days of handwritten letters. And in the early months of World War II, letters were the only link that servicemen had with home. And in a remote place like Guadalcanal, during the early months of World War II, there was a private by the name of Tim. And for Tim, the letters never could come enough. They never came often enough. Oh, he heard on the radio, Tokyo Rose. You know Tokyo Rose? Tokyo Rose was this woman in Tokyo who was on the radio every day. And she was telling American servicemen that their wives back home and their sweethearts back home were being unfaithful. Just propaganda. And they knew it was propaganda. Tim knew it was propaganda. But you still did want to get that reassuring word, I love you, from home. Well, Tim, this young Marine private, had seen his first action in the last few weeks. He'd actually seen several of his buddies killed in action in the Battle of the Bloody Ridge, as it was called. And when the bullets were flying, well, then you really didn't have time to think. But at nighttime, you did. You thought quite a lot. You thought a lot about home. What was going on at home? He wondered, what is it like to die? And then those broadcasts from Tokyo Rose, they really didn't mean a thing, did they? Did they? His fiancée. She was still missing him, wasn't she? Well, then he'd pull out her letters. And he'd read. Dear Tim, I'm counting the days until our wedding. Of course, I don't know how many it's going to be, so I'm counting up instead of counting down. But just the same, I know every day brings us one day closer. God knows how soon it'll be, and He's there with you, Emmanuel. He's there with you. I love you. And then Tim would go to sleep. And the next day, he'd feel every reason to live. The Holy Scriptures are God's love letters to you, to keep you going when times are hard and seem hopeless, when you can't know the future. They tell of how God cared for His people century after century. How God was always true to His promises. How God was always faithful to His promises. Until finally, the day came when He sent us a Savior, Jesus. As we read in those letters, like St. Paul's letter to the Romans, we know that we can always count on God too. St. Paul says, "For whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, so that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Hope. We need that. What are you hoping for? There's one kind of a hope that's really a wish. When I was a kid, as Christmas approached, I would always think of the presents I was hoping for. Still didn't get a BB gun. Hope. Sometimes we think of it, and to hope to us is merely optimism. Like, look on the bright side. Things will get better. It'll all turn out. What does it mean to hope as a Christian? True hope, Christian hope, is to trust in the promises of Christ. Promises that are confirmed in the deeds of Christ for you and for me. That's the real basis for hope. The world gives us false hopes. And sometimes we can succumb to false hopes. The kind of hope that everything is going to be okay. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't think I need to tell you this. Sometimes it ain't. Reality comes and intercedes. And God's word doesn't say your life is going to be a pile of marshmallows. Quite the opposite. The marshmallows are going to be toasted more often than you want. Rough calamities of life come. And as we wait in hope for our Lord's return, what does that lead us to do? It leads us to become weary. It leads us to become discouraged. It leads us to give up hope. But there is hope. Sometimes we think that, well, if we're just optimistic, everything will be all right for us. Well, I suppose there is something to your attitude does matter. But sometimes optimism that's not enough to cut it. Sometimes people tell us, just hope in yourself. And your interior sincerity, what you believe in inside of you, that'll just carry you through and it'll just pay off for you. But hope in yourself alone is doomed to fail because we are human beings. And human beings are doomed to fail by ourselves. And if we hope only in ourselves, really, a form of idolatry where we are our own idol. And when we disappoint ourselves, we become hopeless and discouraged. We might be sincere, but we might be sincerely wrong. But Christian hope is not just a wish. Christian hope is not just a feeling of optimism that everything is going to turn out well. Christian hope is complete confidence in the promises of God. Your hope is not inside you, but your hope is external. Your hope is in someone else. Someone else who gives you a promise and who is always faithful to that promise. And who always comes and fulfills that promise with deeds. That is your Lord Jesus Christ. Because when your life looks hopeless, and when you are hopeless, and when you feel like, well, I don't need to tell you, the Lord is there. God with us. His promise is always there for you and for me. His promise of forgiveness and redemption and life. And He comes in the person of Jesus Christ, that baby who's born at Bethlehem. He comes indeed. He lives indeed. He speaks to you indeed. He goes to the cross for you indeed. He sheds His blood for you indeed. And He rises again, indeed, to give you hope. Hope and a future. And He returns, indeed, for you. You, Christians, have the promise of God. Promise of the one who is faithful. The promise of the one who is always true. Promise of one who fulfills His own words with deeds. His word is as good as a deed. For this reason, he says, Christ became a servant. Christ became a servant for you. Why? To confirm the promises that God gave. That is the real reason for hope. The Lord gives you this hope, and you say, "Well, why don't you just give it to me now, Lord? Why do I have to stay in the hope period?" He disciplines those He loves who are in hope to give you things like patience and endurance and to use you as a witness to others. And you are. You're a witness to me. And you're a witness to each other. You're a witness to the world of what true hope looks like. Christian hope was trust in the promise of Jesus Christ our Lord, who lived for you, who died for you, and who lives for you again, this day and every day. Hope in that. Live in that. Rejoice in that hope. Together as God's people. In Jesus' name, amen.